And now the game where we try to find little gaps in the knowledge of very knowledgeable people. Tom Brokaw is the legendary TV newsman who hosted the NBC Nightly News from 1982 to 2004. He's now the acting host of NBC's flagship interview program, Meet the Press. He's a best-selling author, most recently of Boom, A Chronicle of the 1960s. Tom Brokaw, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So excited to have you, especially after such a major news event like the presidential election. So here's the question. Did you tell Obama what to do, or did Obama tell you guys what to do? We can never figure it out.
Well, Obama got, I think it's fair to say, pretty good attention during the course of this campaign. There's going to be a long postmortem about whether the reporters were fair to him or not. I think in every campaign, there's one candidate who probably gets a little more favorable attention than another.
Right.
He was a phenomenon from almost the beginning, and he attracted a lot of people, and he made very few false steps. So I think that all worked in his favor.
Does it bother you to hear so much criticism of the media, the mainstream media, as it's now called, specifically the criticism that you guys are biased or in the tank or however you want to put it?
No, it's been going on for as long as I can remember. I've been doing this for 45 years now, and back in 1964, there's no one in that audience there, or maybe even on the stage, who will remember this, but
Carl and I do.
Well, PJ's people at the Goldwater Convention in 1964 were very, very hostile to the press, and that went on for most of the year. And I always remind the conservative critics of the press, I'd say, I don't remember you complaining a lot when we were following Bill Clinton's relationship with Monica moment by moment and tracking what was going on in the impeachment trial. Didn't seem to come up then. My easy answer is that bias, like beauty, is often in the eye of the beholder. But, of course, there are times when the press will slip over to the left and slip over to the right.
But wait a minute. It's also true, if I may, that in the day, and some people say that you and your colleagues during the 80s and 90s, Mr. Jennings and Mr. Rather, were the last great news anchors, those men who delivered the truth, who were seen as arbiters of what was real and what wasn't the truth. And nowadays it seems like the big names in news are not the truth givers, but the shouting heads, the O'Reillys, the Olbermans, the Matthews, the Buchanans, and so on and so forth. Has it changed? Has an era passed? Do you ever wish maybe that you had the chance to scream at people and be paid millions of dollars for it?
Listen, if there is an oxymoron in American life, it is humble anchorman. And I'm not going to challenge.
Right.
I'm not going to challenge what you just said about our place. The difference is that the screen is much more crowded now.
Right.
And therefore, to break through, a little more outrage is required. Look, a long time before there was Bill O'Reilly, there was Walter Winchell or Dorothy Kilgallen. This has been a fixed part of American journalism for a long time.
Or Father Coughlin.
Yes, that's true.
Exactly. I want to get back to your network. There was an incident just, I think, last week where your morning anchor, Jeff Scarborough, broke one of the subtle rules of journalism. He dropped the F-bomb on live TV.
He did indeed.
Anything like that ever happened to you?
No, never dropped the F-word. I did talk to him afterwards, and we all agreed that it has become, unfortunately, in common usage.
Yes.
Noun, adverb, personal pronoun.
Yeah.
Conjunction.
I personally,
it's used everywhere, and therefore, if it becomes that kind of, if it's that familiar in your daily use.
Yeah.
It was bound to happen at some point, and he took the kind of no F-bomb pledge after that.
Yeah.
And decided that he wouldn't do it, and we put it on tape delay.
Well, I have to say, as somebody who was listening to it when it happened, it was effing awesome.
Right. Well, the other part of it was that it has become such a fixed part of the life. He didn't realize he'd said it.
Yes. I remember his guests in the show were like going, ooh, 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 ooh. And he was like, what? One more thing, though, about your work. We, of course, talked on our show about your moderation of, I think it was the second presidential debate,
right,
the town hall debate. You got a little, shall we say, concerned about the clock in that debate.
Well, what I got concerned about is that they set up these rules. And what I was trying to do with that debate was to move them away from canned answers. If we're going to go to all that trouble, why just repeat talking points? And so they came up with a 32-page, can you imagine this, a 32-page memo of understanding. But then the people who run the debate said to me, look, you get to ask the questions that you want to afterwards, and they have agreed that they'll only take a minute to respond to them. Well, as soon as they stepped on stage, you know, they tried to run off with the format.
In fact, they got up and they blocked your view of the teleprompter at the end.
They did, and it, you know, and it revealed how hostage we are to that thing. It was my friend Bob Schieffer who was going to do the next debate, and I couldn't remember the date, and I didn't want to get it wrong, so I had to read it off the teleprompter. But there they stood, and for the first time that night, they actually listened to me and moved on.
Yeah, well, that was nice. Speaking of Schieffer, he was on our show a while ago, and he said something interesting about you. He said you have really nice legs. I'm just...
Schieffer's an old buddy. We've been playing a series of practical jokes on each other, dating to the 1970s when we were both the White House correspondents for during the Ford administration, and it has been an elaborate string, and it's now running into these sunset years of our life, and I just think the world of him. He's one of the authentically great correspondents down there. He's covered every...
Yeah. What about the legs, Tom? What about the legs?
now that you bring it up, all right. When I was a high school basketball player and playing in the state basketball tournament, two of my teammates were named the first team All-State. Another one was named to the All-Tournament team. I was voted as having the best legs by the cheerleaders. So that's my one claim to fame.
That's something. You know?
True story, I'm telling you.
I got to tell you.
Now, listen, I'm just terrified about calling in on this because I am sure that I'm going to finish in the lower percentile of the Sarah Palin scale of current events. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
She has reset the bar.
Yeah, right.
And now we're all playing limbo, trying to get under it. All right, here we go. Tom Brokaw, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
The Darkest Generation.
Yeah, so you've written a book about the World War II generation. You've written a new book about the generation of the 60s, the boomers. We don't think you're going to be writing one about kids today. They won't even clean up their bedroom, for goodness sake. But we also think that because they have been wasting their time playing.
I'm waiting for a member of this generation to write one that's simply titled, My Generation Sucks.
There you are. The problem is we think that these kids these days, kids in their 20s and 30s, are they kids? I don't know. They're wasting their time playing collectible card games. These are the games in which you buy decks of custom cards and play them in combat against your friends. It's like cribbage for kids who can't get dates. So we're going to ask you three questions about such games. Answer two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is Tom Brokaw playing for?
Tom is playing for Lear Blitzstein of Alameda, California.
All right. So you ready to waste some time?
I guess I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Now, here's your first question. Most of these games work in the same model. You engage in combat with your opponents with cards that give you special powers. In the game Ultimate Combat, for example, one of the most feared special powers cards you could play was what? A, body odor, B, nipple twist, or C, intimate tickle?
B.
You're going to go for nipple twist. It's funny, we've practiced this game. Everybody goes right for the nipple twist. But the answer was body odor. If you're in combat, martial arts game, you play
so
body odor.
You can tell where my inclinations are. I'll take nipples over body odor any day.
No, the answer was body odor. If you played that card during combat, your opponent would not be able to play the next turn because presumably they would be stunned. All right. Two more chances. You can still do this. Not all games are quite so violent. Which of these is a game that tries to appeal a little bit to the gentler side of geekdom? A, Swingers, the mate-swapping game. B, a game called Killer Bunnies and the Quest for the Magic Carrot. Or C, Buds and Seeds, in which players compete to grow the best fictional marijuana.
Killer Bunnies.
Killer Bunnies. Killer Bunnies and the Quest for the Magic Carrot. You're right, sir. We haven't ourselves played the game.
It's a lot more fun after you grow the seed.
Yeah. We understand the game does involve bunnies. All right. You're one for two. You get this one right, you will win. Just this year, 2008, a game was released which brought a kind of realism to the collectible card game genre. Is it A, High School, in which players take on the personas of actually popular kids? B, Geek Fight, in which players take on the role of players attending a game convention. Or C, Cubicle Drone, in which players vie for minor promotions and corner offices in an office environment.
B.
You're going to go for Geek Fight. You seem very confident. Have you played Geek Fight? This is how you and Chris Matthews pass the time? You're right, sir. Geek Fight. How did you know?
And nobody beats Chris Matthews
at Geek Fight.
As Chris Matthews himself might say, I felt a thrill running up my leg. Yeah.
Carl, how did Tom Brokaw do on our quiz?
Well, Tom had two correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Lear Blitzstein. Congratulations, Tom.
Well done.
Oh, great, Lear.
Tom Brokaw is, of course, a legendary journalist, the former anchor of NBC Nightly News. He is currently the interim moderator of Meet the Press, the author most recently of Boom, Voices of the 60s. Tom Brokaw, thank you so much for being with us.
What
an honor. Thank you, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.